This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Very happy to welcome in on the BetQL guest hotline, Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team. He's presented by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Absolutely the best. For absolutely the best service, call 877-CALL-FUR or go to fhfur.com online. Good morning, Coach. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We are doing well.
I bet you are doing well.
Need to ask you a couple quick questions about Vegas. Not about the game. Here's what I need to know. What were your accommodations? I need to know where the team was staying. I need to gauge that. And I know it's a business trip to Vegas, but did you saddle up to, I don't know, a blackjack table for half an hour or a craps table?
No.
Did you mix
chance.
In any pleasure
no
on a business
chance.
Trip?
What is he staying up until 2 in the morning on Saturday?
I said these are things I
He's
need to ask.
He's not a D-gen like you.
Maybe it calms him
right.
to go play
you
some
know what? Maybe he'll shock us.
I don't know. I have to ask.
Coach?
Well, I can tell you guys this honestly. The only gambling I did was on Sunday between 1 and 4.
Right. There you go.
Okay. Right, like, okay,
and you know what? You thought about gambling on that fourth down before the kids kick, and we can talk about it. I talked to you about this on Sunday night. You've talked on this show about having an analytics guy. Talk about kind of the decision-making there. It's a new kicker, 22-year-old kid. You're lined up for, what, 4.5 yards? You can maybe go for it. Talk about your thinking there.
I thought for sure you were going to go for it, Coach.
Oh, yeah, that made a lot of sense. No. Listen, we sat there, and the biggest thing you sit there and you say to yourself, if you get stuffed, you never get a chance to put the ball in the air to find out if he would have made it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So the only opportunity we truly had was that was the opportunity. Because, you know, no matter how you look at it, if you gamble to go for it, why wouldn't you gamble to kick it?
Right, because you're going to end up kicking anyway. Like, if you go for it, unless you get a touchdown, which is probably unlikely, you maybe just advance 5-7 yards, whatever, given the amount of time.
Well, the only reason was I was just scared that there was too much time on the clock.
Yeah, you always worry about the time on the clock, but, you know, at the end of the day, you have to, you know, you really do. You have to look at that and sit there and say, what are the downsides of going for it? Well, getting stuffed. You know, the thing that kills me about the analytics, they sit there and they go, well, you know, Coach, that's a 92% success. Okay, but what if you're the 0.8? You know what I'm saying?
What if
you're the 8% that doesn't make it? I mean, that's happened to me before.
Of course.
In Carolina, I followed the analytics in a specific game, okay, and we didn't make it. And they told me afterwards, well, that was the right decision. And I said, no, we lost. How can that be the right decision? You know what I mean? I said, yeah, but it was 92% said you were going to succeed. Yeah, but what if it's the 8% that one time? You know, that 1 out of 10, you're the one, guess what?
Right, what even saying, but do you think Harbaugh is regretting going for 2 this week?
No.
That's different?
Yes, it is, because that's John. I'll tell you right now, I'd have done the same thing. You got to understand, you know, you're there. Why? 2 yards, you're there. Mm-hmm. That's got to be the thinking. Hey, we may never get the ball back. What if they toss the coin? Mm-hmm. They get the ball, and they return a kickoff on the opening kickoff. You never get a chance. But you're there. You're on the 2-yard line. You've got the momentum. You just scored. Why wouldn't you go for it? I would have.
Right. Coach, you have an army of a coaching staff. Do you have a guy who's, like, right next to you in your ear at all times about time management and when to take timeouts? Or is that just your thing? Like, it's intuitive and it's easy for you?
No, it's a combination of both. You know, the thing everybody got to understand is analytics is a tool. That's all it is. It's to help you with your decision making, and you can listen to it, or you can just go the other direction. Believe me, I've listened to it and I've gone the other direction. I went the other direction because, as you said, the intuitive part of it tells you, oh, yeah, hey, you should go for it. Or the intuitive says, no, let's be smart. We're playing good defense. We'll trap them down there. You know, I mean, those are the things that you know, and again, I'm not saying I'm smarter or better than anybody, but having played the game, that, I think, helps me a little bit.
Are you saying then that your analytics guy told you to go for it and you overruled him?
Yeah. No, he didn't. No, not on that one. He didn't tell me that one.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so let me ask you about sort of the overall trend here. So you guys on a four-game winning streak. I think you thought this was possible, but a lot of people didn't, and credit to you.
Including ourselves.
Yeah, of course. And you're doing a great job here. Now, what's been obvious that you guys have decided, obviously, that we're going to focus on the running game. That's what it appears. Is that something that you guys decided in the bye week? You looked at everything. You said, okay, we're going to pare this down here a little bit. We're going to try to focus on what we're really good at, which is running the ball, and then, you know, maybe not expose Taylor quite as much, throwing 40 times. That makes a lot of sense to me. Or is it simply a situation where you guys are kind of getting up early, and then it gives you that luxury to run the ball?
Well, it's a combination of all those things, guys. I mean, because honestly, we never really put ourselves in the position during the beginning part of the season to really find out, see, understand, and know exactly what we got at the running game.
Right.
And it was one of the things that when we did look at the season, it was chopped up. But you look at it and also you say, dang, you know, we run this really well. God, we got to put it together. So coming out of the bye, consciously and thinking about it and talking with Scott and the offensive line coaches and everybody, it was, you know, we got to just see. And so we came out Tampa game. We started rolling. We stayed with it. It was successful. We kept going. And it has now evolved into something that, hey, let's continue to focus in on what we're doing really well right now. And like you said, there's a lot of good reasons why. One is we're really good with play action. Mm-hmm. Taylor is really good with his play action. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it's taking the pressure off of him like he had in some of those earlier games. And it pays dividends when we either score early or keep the game close early. Now we can do it. We can do the things that we really feel good about. That's a big part of it. And so, you know, it's something that you look at and you sit there and consciously say, man, we have to understand as a team, not just coaches or not just players, but as a team, the value of what has happened for us in these last four games.
So, Coach, in that four-game losing streak, you guys gave up 33, 31, 24, and then 17 in Denver. In the four-game win streak, it's 19, 21, 15, 15. All right. Now, in that four-game losing streak, you also lost Chase and Montez. Well, we try and speculate what the difference is defensively. What has changed defensively? And be specific on this, if you can. What has changed specifically in the four-game win streak?
One is blitzing more.
I know you moved Landon, you know, basically the linebacker. Yeah. Okay, but what's been the change?
Yeah. Well, it's been all those things, guys. Honestly, I mean, as specific as it gets. First of all, we're running the ball successfully on the offensive side. That keeps the defense off the line, off the field, and fresh. Two, moving Landon and getting him in to play the Buffalo position for us. You know, the big nickel has really benefited us, and it's benefiting him because he's playing, and you really see his abilities and his talents come to the forefront. The dude is a physical player at the point of attack. The dude is a very quick underneath cover guy, and he's a good blitzer. And to that point, we are blitzing more, okay, whether it's him, whether it's one of the backers, or it's the nickel, the true nickel, or the safety coming down into the box and blitzing. So we're a little more aggressive attacking the line. You know, early on, some of the philosophy thinking coming into this was with our rush, we could rush for and be successful. Mm-hmm. But what we saw was people countered that by chipping their way out, putting an extra blocker into protections, making sure they're throwing our pass rush rhythm off. Now, we're not seeing as much of that, obviously. And so you're seeing that middle push having success. You're seeing the guys on the edge getting a little more pressure. Why? Because they're being singled now.
Right.
And so that's been to our benefit. And then I've talked about this. You see the communications going on in the secondary. Mm-hmm. You know, and I pointed out last week when we missed one of the communications, we gave it that big throw down the side to Seattle. So it's all, you know, it's all right there, and we can see it. And the other thing that's been really good, too, is our run defense has really stepped up. We've been much more gaps sound. We've been much more disciplined. the young linebackers, you know, you see Cole and you see Jamin getting that feel for attacking the line and getting downhill into their creases. You know, it's really kind of like the group has matured and understands exactly what has to be done to be successful.
Talking to head coach Ron Rivera from the Washington football team, they've won four in a row, Dallas's next division game. Let me just clear something up because we hear this from fans. They'll say, well, the defense is just better without Chase Young and Montez Sweat. Two things. When's Montez coming back, and will you disagree with that? Because I always say, Well, they would be even better off with that with their studs.
Yeah, and I believe that too. I believe that you get a guy like Montez, you get a guy like Chase with their ability to put pressure. Now it's a matter of understanding, hey, these are the things that we got to stop expecting them to be more than they are. Mm-hmm. They're very good outside edge players, but yet we all sit there and say, well, let's go, guys, let's go, you know. And again, maybe coming in saying, you know, let's just rush with four. Now the realization that, you know what, if we bring that extra guy, it'll take a little pressure off them. People will now have to, you know, focus in on where's the blitz are coming from. And it's going to free guys up a little bit more. So these are a lot of these things that we've learned with this group of guys. And this is the best way to use them. And this is the best way to help them have success.
And where is Montez? Is he going to be back soon?
Yes. Yes. We're waiting for the clear so that we can get him out on the practice field and get him rolling.
Coach, I always would watch Chase, right? Because he's such a presence and he's easy to spot. And so when you guys are out there, you know, 99, I'm looking for him. He's not there. So now I'm focusing. I've been on Jamin's ass and he's playing better. And I have to admit, he's hard to find sometimes because he's not, he doesn't jump out at you physically, right? The way Chase does when I'm watching the game from home. But I noticed that he appeared to be – you kind of have him, like, stand up rushing maybe a little bit more than what I've noticed in previous weeks. Is that true? And then how, it seems like he's playing better.
Yeah, and well, one of the things is we get into our what we call basically a bear leg, and we put him down on the line as one of the edge rush guys. Mm-hmm. And some of the nickel packages, we put him up into the front as one of the mug guys that come up and mug the line of scrimmage, either in the A-gap or the B-gap. And by doing that now, they have to change the protections. Now they've got to account for him because if they don't account for him and he does blitz, okay, he's going to be free. So now what has to happen is the guard has to respond to him or the center has to respond to him or the tackle has to turn down to him or the back has to step up. So now what's happening is we're not getting the extra blocker. We're not getting the extra chipper. And so some of the things that, you know, Jack and the defensive guys are coming up with are using, you know, Jamin's ability as a blitzer to get up there and influence the way the protections are.
All right, so, Coach, you take on Dallas. I know that you spoke about this on Sunday night after the game. You want the fans to show up, the home fans to show up. But let's talk about the challenge of facing a Dallas team. We know they have an explosive offense, a really good quarterback in Dak Prescott, three really good receivers, two-headed monster at running back. What can we expect from this defense against this Dallas offense?
Well, the big thing is, again, a lot of stuff that we did last week is going to carry over. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, you can't allow explosive plays to become touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? You've got to keep it in front of you. You got to get them down quickly. You got to be physical with their playmakers. And again, you have to understand the guy's going to catch the ball. There can't be a lot of run after catch. There has to be instant contact, get them down to the ground. So we as defenders underneath players have to understand we have to connect. We have to connect. We have to connect. The running game cannot allow it to get started because then again, when they have that 50-50 option or what are they going to do, now you play a little hesitant. We can shut the run game down early, make them one-dimensional. It gives us an opportunity to get after the passer.
Coach, Gibby has been really good the last month, and you're giving him the ball more. Now, I know he was fumbling a little bit earlier in the year, but, you know, he wasn't a running back in college, so maybe he's just kind of learning the position more. Yep. What's he been doing in practice, or what are you telling him about just controlling the ball and being more protective over the ball when he's running the ball?
Yeah, I love how you said we want to protect the ball. I love that because we don't want to talk about the F word. So the big thing about it, when you really watch him and go back to the beginning portion of the season, one of the things is he tended to run with his chest up. And one of the things that Randy and Jennifer all talked to him constantly about is, hey, getting that body lean going forward. Get those pads up over your knees, you know, that type of stuff. Good waistband as you go in through contact. And he's really gravitated to that and understanding that when he hits those creases and as he's getting through the line, he lowers those shoulders. There's not a lot of corners that want to step in and hit a 232-pound running back going full speed. I mean, the kid runs, and he runs very well, and he runs very hard as he's learning the tools that he needs as a runner, you know, rolling those shoulders over his knees. Guys are starting to, you know, there's some business decisions being made out there by some of the DBs because they're thinking to themselves, this is a big dude now. This really is.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. I noticed that in the Raider game. Guys were just, I mean, he was right. Running over guys.
You wouldn't want to tackle him.
Hell no.
No, guys are, you know, they kind of do that little sidestep where they stick their arm out. Well, and one of the things that I know Randy and Jennifer talked about is with your lean and your quickness, you're going to run through those arm tackles. Those arm tackles are going to get broken very quickly, very easily, and you'll keep your momentum going. Good athletes, good football players, good runners understand that if they can accelerate and get through the crease and start getting into that second level, if you continue, what's going to happen is you're going to get better angles that when a guy sticks an arm out, you're going to run right through him as opposed to, you know, being upright and working laterally as opposed to getting downhill quickly.
Hey, Coach, just real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts on Taylor really playing well here in his last four games. You know, I don't have it right in front of me, his splits from his last four games, but been really impressive. I think overall he's ninth in the league in completion percentage. He's 12th in touchdowns. He's 15th in yardage. I mean, this is just kind of like unbelievable production from a guy with his pedigree, let's be honest. Everyone loves watching him play. And the one thing that's jumped out at me, and this may not be the perfect game to bring it up because I don't know that it was perfect last week, but he seems to be getting more accurate as the season progresses. Have you noticed any of that?
Well, I have seen him become more accurate. I do agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is because he's taking what's there as opposed to trying to force certain elements,
right,
certain things when he's out there. I will disagree with you about his pedigree. Just remember this. I know he played at a smaller college, but he was very productive, very productive. There was a game he had where he threw for over 800 yards. and so it's crazy. I mean, if you go and look at – I mean, if you ever get a chance, look at some ODU film, you're going to sit there and go, who is this dude? I mean, mm-hmm. He has a good feel and understanding for throws. I mean, you watch him. He makes touch throws. He makes good throws into the corner. You know, he makes a good seven route throw. So he has that ability. But what's happened is he's getting the sense and understanding of what's there, what to take. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to, you know, I can make that. No, but you know what? We don't need that right now. We need to keep the momentum going. We got to build on the success you're having. He's understanding that, and that's what's a lot of fun to watch. Is you can see the light bulb go off in his head, and he's thinking through his game as opposed to you know, forcing things and, you know, oh, I got to do this. It's not, wait, no, that's the throw right there. Right, I'm taking that one.
Coach, your 4-point dogs are going to let you go. I got you're still, I guess, David, right, in the eyes of the rest of the league.
Yes, we are, and I'm fine with that. Just understand one thing about David. It wasn't about what he did, but it's what about he had to do the rest of the way. Remember, you beat Goliath. Now what? Now what do you got to do? It was a 7-year battle that David went through before he became king. And remember this, when he became king, he was there for 30 years, baby.
Well, we didn't know all that backstory, but we appreciate it.
Well, you already beat Goliath once, so I don't know if you can do it twice. We'll see.
We're rooting for you. Get 5 straight. We'll talk to you again next week, Coach.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep, that's head coach Ron Rivera, presented by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Absolutely the best for absolutely the best service. Call 877-CALL-FUR or go to fhfur.com.
Took David 7 years after he knocked down Goliath?
Hey, if he says so.
Become king? Apparently. I didn't even know he became king.
I'm going to have to duck, duck, go there.
David the king? That doesn't sound right.
All right, we got it.
King
Ron.
David.
We're the Jumps. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.